الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the brothers earlier this week asked me a question, and so I thought that I would just share the question and share some of the discussion concerning the answer to that question, because I think it's beneficial for everyone. The question was, how do you obtain khushu' in salah? Khushu' is a very, very hard term to define. And if you use it either in Arabic or in Urdu, and you have an understanding internally of what it means, then it becomes a lot easier to understand. But basically what khushu' refers to is sort of like tranquility in salah. But it goes beyond tranquility in salah. It also refers to being able to experience the salah, being able to taste the salah, being able to find enjoyment in the salah. That's basically what khushu' refers to. And the question that he raised was, how do you obtain... Actually, the question, the way it was phrased was, you know, I don't have khushu'. So when you think about the concept of khushu', first of all, you should recognize that inherent in a human being is khushu'. So the statement, I don't have khushu', is not a correct statement. If you sit down and look at your own life, you'll find that actually everybody has khushu'. Just think about your own life, think about the people that you know closely, the people who you interact with regularly. You'll find that all of them have khushu'. So the issue isn't khushu'. That's a natural thing present within people. 99% of the people have that characteristic. The issue is, where is your khushu' placed? That's the question. So for example, some people, they enjoy sports. So they can very restfully watch 2, 3, 5, 6 hours of sports and they get enjoyment out of it. They'll prepare before the game. They'll talk about all the things that happened after the game. So there's this period of time, and in that period of time, they remain focused on the game. So that is a type of khushu'. Similarly, other people are really interested in the stock market, right? So they can research their companies, they can analyze their companies, they can think about their companies, they have dreams about the companies that they're interested in. They know what happened with the company 2 years ago. They even know what the company is planning to do for the next 2 years. So that's a type of khushu' as well. It's a type of interest, it's a type of tranquility, it's a type of enjoyment that develops within something. Now, that characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in every single person of khushu', your goal as a salik is to turn that khushu' towards the deen in general, and towards salah in particular. So now that's the first point to recognize, is that everybody has the inherent ability to enjoy, to focus, to attain tranquility in something. The question isn't whether that ability exists, the question is where an individual focuses that energy. So that's the first point. Now, the next thing that you should realize is that in order to develop khushu' within salah, there are some very, very basic points to keep in mind. And this is a very detailed discussion. It's not something that you discuss in 10 minutes, but some very, very key principle points to keep in mind that will help you just in order to begin the discussion. First and foremost is that salah is built upon tahara. And I've said this many, many times, and I'll repeat it again. The stronger and the better and the more firm the foundation, the better the building that you can place on top of it. Everybody knows that. When people want to build a building as high as the Sears Tower, they don't discuss the building, they discuss the foundation. Building the building is not so hard. Finding the foundation, making sure the foundation is correct, making sure the foundation will support the building is the challenge. That's what engineers spend their time on initially. So the first thing before you can even talk about building something as lofty as salah, And then a deep salah, an enjoyable salah, a tranquil salah, is first that you have to build the foundation of tahara upon which that salah will lie. So that is a whole, again, separate discussion, but it includes being careful about wudu, being careful about your clothing, being careful about the place of prayer, being careful about how you make istinja, being careful about all of these individual aspects of tahara. Now those are the fiqhi aspects of tahara. Then you get into the whole spiritual aspect of tahara, and that's a whole different thing. What you eat, what you wear, what you look at, what you hear, where you walk, what you touch, all of these things affect the heart, and the heart is actually the real foundation upon which the depth of salah develops. Okay, that's one discussion, or one point to keep in mind. The next thing to recognize is that if you want to develop depth in the salah, you have to then focus on the salah itself. Which means that aside from the fiqh of tahara, you have to know the fiqh of salah. And the fiqh of salah actually teaches you to focus on various aspects of the salah. For example, when you go through the fiqh of salah, you'll see that there's a very big emphasis placed on where you look. So when you're standing, you should look at a particular place. When you're in ruku', you look at another place. When you're in sujood, you look at another place, etc. Now, although that might seem very minute and superficial, I mean, here's this great act of salah where a human being ascends towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deeply converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They recite Surah Fatiha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to every single line in Surah Fatiha. You would think, in such an incredible event, what does it matter where you place your eyes? But the Prophet ﷺ actually taught us where the eyes should be placed. First of all, we were taught not to close our eyes. So some people feel, just from their own rationality, that actually the deeper khushu would be with closing the eyes. Because when you want to focus on something, when you want to concentrate on something, you close your eyes. Right? When you want to get deeply into something, you close your eyes. And actually, it's the opposite. In the case of salah, we were told to keep our eyes open, and then we were particularly told where we should look at each point. So even something as small as that, the ulama highlight, that if you make that the focal point in salah, meaning the fiqh of salah becomes the focal point within salah, that helps to develop khushu'. Because actually that's the sunnah, and it's the sunnah that attracts the barakah into salah that makes it from among the khashi'een, that makes you from among the khashi'een, the people who have khushu'. So that's the other point to keep in mind. The third point is actually the point that I want to touch on in the next few minutes. And that's something that we don't think about as much. And that is that we have to remember that the goal of khushu' for the beginner, see, each person has a battle. The goal for the beginner is khushu' in the fard salah. Alright? The goal for the beginner is khushu' in the fard salah. Now, some people's battle is, when can I get khushu in my tahajjud salah? Some people are battling at that level in their spirituality. The khushu already exists in their sunnah, the khushu already exists in their faraid, the khushu already exists in the witr. Now they're discussing and debating, how can I increase my khushu in the nafila that I do, the tahajjud salah. But for the beginner, the battle is to obtain khushu in the fard salah. So one of the ways by which you do that is to create a buffer around the fard salah. What do I mean? Okay. One of the problems that causes a lack of khushu' is that the mind is full of many other things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when an individual enters into salah, and they purposely try to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what ends up happening is that many of those things from their daily routine begin to churn in their mind. Alright? Then what happens is, eventually that decreases as an individual interacts with salah. So for example, here's an individual, he comes up, he begins to pray the sunnah of the dhuhr salah. He starts the sunnah of the dhuhr salah, he's thinking about a whole bunch of other things. Then he starts the farad. Maybe that khushu' increases a little bit and he thinks about other things a little bit less. And then he goes and prays the sunnah again, and again he thinks about less of the external world and is more focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a progression. The deeper you interact with a particular time of prayer, the more the khushu' begins to increase and the more these things that were present in your mind from your daily routine begin to dissipate. So that's called buffering the salah, and it's present within the sunnah. So what that means is that when you put some sunnah salah before the farad salah, or when you purposely put some nafila before the farad salah, that acts as a filter so that what was supposed to be dissipated in the farad salah actually gets dissipated in the sunnah salah. Now what happens with us is people who lose their khushu' and they approach sort of the edge of complete loss of khushu', they begin to leave the sunnah. They begin to leave the nafila. And then it's straight to the farad. Right? So that's like sort of like the bare bones, that's the skeleton of salah. Now when that happens, then an individual, they jump into the farad salah without praying any nafila, without praying any sunnah, and then there's not going to be any khushu' because you lost that buffer. Where you had an opportunity to dissipate what was in the mind, you had an opportunity to allow what was in the mind to be turned out, it ends up all occurring within the farad salah. So that's why, for example, one of the recommendations I give to people, they say, what's the best time to do muraqabah? What's the best time to sit down and do dhikr? One of the best times is when you're waiting for a salah. Before the salah. For example, let's say that you know that the Isha salah here is at 7 o'clock. So come at 7:40. If you come at 7:40, all right, sorry, 6:40, and then you pray the sunnah, and then you sit for an extra 15 minutes and you do muraqabah, I guarantee you that that 7 o'clock Isha Salah will become much more valuable and there'll be much more khushu' compared to the individual who walks in at 7:02 and joins into the Fard Salah. One, because if you sit down in muraqabah and you start trying to do muraqabah, one of the biggest complaints that people have is that when I do muraqabah, I'm sitting and thinking about all these things. I don't think about Allah. But that's actually a positive thing. Because what it means is that you're getting rid of all those other things that were sitting there sort of rotating in your mind that you weren't focused on. So when you do that, that will increase the khushu' that's present in the farad of the salah. And that's a very, very important way of buffering the salah. And this also actually concept is present within the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. For example, in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that the individual who comes and waits for salah, every moment that they wait for salah, they receive the reward as if they're in that salah. Alright? That's called intivar, waiting. And actually, that itself is a type of ibadah. Coming and waiting for a salah, to sit and wait for a salah, independently is an act of ibadah according to the hadith. And there's two benefits. Number one, you weren't even asked to think of anything particular in that hadith. As long as you sat and waited, you received the reward of salah. So as far as the reward of salah is concerned, Allah grants it to you. Now comes the other issue. If you're sitting there, there's one of two possibilities. Either you're deeply in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that when you enter into the farad salah, that remembrance will only multiply exponentially. Or you were thinking about everything except Allah, which means that for those 15 minutes, your mind is going to get tired, it's eventually going to get rid of all those external thoughts, and the farad salah will become deeper. It may not be as deep as it should be, but it will definitely be deeper. So, it really, really is important that as part of our daily routine, as part of our schedule, we make sure that we buffer our salah, meaning the farad for the beginner. Now, what happens is if you buffer the salah, you begin to establish the farad, then the next line begins to get established. Then you begin to establish depth in the sunnah. Once you begin to establish depth in the sunnah, then you start working on the nafila, and the nafila become a buffer. So what type of nafila act as a buffer? We know that it's encouraged after you make wudu to pray two raka'ah of salah. Right? That's called tahiyatul wudu, greeting the wudu. Similarly, we know that when you first enter the masjid, it's encouraged to pray two raka'ah of salah. That's called tahiyatul masjid. And that's also a type of buffer, in a way. Now the individual who does that, the individual who greets their wudu, the individual who greets the masjid, I'll tell you, their battle is not the farad prayer. They're battling at the nafila. And that's the place where you want to battle, because even if you get pushed back, you'll get pushed back to the sunnah, but at least the nafilah is protected. Now when an individual sets up the battle at the farad, then shaitan has you where he wants you. Because all he has to do is push you back another step, and the farad goes as well. So always create a buffer, because one, it'll increase the khushu' within salah, and two, it'll create a protection for you not missing the salah. The individual who takes a risk of missing the salah is not the one who prays at the beginning of the time, it's the one who prays at the end of the time. Because they lost their buffer of the hour and a half that was present in order to pray. So if somebody normally prays at 1 and the salah ends at 3, even if they miss 1, they might pray at 1:30, they might pray at 2, they might pray at 2:30. There's all this battleground before they actually lose their fort, which was the salah. But if somebody's habit is to pray at 2:55 when the prayer ends at 3, all shaitan has to do is push you over 5 minutes and it's it. You lost that most important thing that defined who you were. So that's another important idea about buffering. And that is to buffer the time as well of the salah. Anyway, these are just a few points that I wanted to highlight. The central thing to remember, and actually the biggest mistake that people make, is that everyone has khushu'. That's shaitan's deception to think that I'm not able to have khushu'. The problem, again, is not that you can't have khushu'. The problem is that we place the khushu' in the wrong direction. We put it into some program that we like to play, or some game that we're really interested in, or some other thing of the dunya. And then when it comes to any energy left, we don't have it, and then we ask ourselves, what's wrong? Where is the khushu' in our salah? Human beings are very, very simple creatures. We like to think ourselves as very complex, and we like to build a complex world around us, and we like to lay down very, very complex networks. But the point is, we are very, very simple. We don't have the ability to focus on two things at one time. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Verily, our efforts are dispersed. So the person who succeeds is the person whose focus becomes the deen, whose focus becomes the day of judgment. And that doesn't preclude you from interacting with the dunya, because then you do that through that focus. The problem is when your one focus is dunya and your other focus is deen, that's the person who's never here and never there. So make your focus the deen, and then inshallah everything else will fall into place. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.